Dead in Sports, the place where sports opinions collide. DES 365. I'm eating buttered bread for everybody that tuned in to iFriday yesterday. So, you know, make you smile. I want to talk NBA trade deadline. I want to talk NBA trade rumors. How y'all feeling? I feel like every year it comes this time and there's a lot of rumors, but not a lot of moves actually happen. And I think this year, we always say it, this is going to be the year. This is going to be the year. But I actually think some people are going to move. I think some teams have realized ceilings, timelines, and I think we're probably going to see some things shake. The biggest one, you know what I'm saying, obviously James Harden, Ben Simmons. But we'll get back to that one. I think what's very interesting, you know, and hopefully Nick watches this, they really talking about trading this boy Julius Randle, man. I think I've been right. Julius isn't the guy. And I think the Knicks are starting to see that. And that's the reason why they are exploring trade options. This is coming from Bleacher Report, where it says Mark Berman spoke to a scout that says that Randle has very low trade value. I wonder why. Maybe because I'm right. I think that might be why. What teams you guys think should make moves? Caris LeVert is another interesting one. The Cavs are very interested. And I don't know why the Cavs feel that they got to get every guard that's like 6'4 and under. I think Caris, how tall is Caris? I want to say Caris is like 6'5. You know what I'm saying? He's 27. I think they're trying to move on from the young bull. And, you know, really build around Darius Garland. If you don't know who the young bull is, it's Colin Sexton. That was his nickname out here in Georgia when he hooped in high school. So Cleveland is in a very interesting spot because they have a lot of young talent. So getting a guy that's 27, he isn't that old, but's been around the block, obviously a consummate professional. So I think that's a good move for them. I think the Cavs should be buyers and sellers right now. So there's some Bulls rumors as well. Let me see, who are they trying to give up? Yeah, we're gonna skip this one. You know what, man? Look, let's just address the elephant in the room. James Harden for Ben Simmons. I like it. And I feel like I've already been on the record talking about it. I've been on the record why I like this move for both teams. Obviously, Kyrie is rubbing people the wrong way. I don't think they'll say it publicly, but he's rubbing people the wrong way on that squad, playing part-time the way he is. And James wants out. I told you he did. That doesn't bode well in the locker room, bro. Not when you're, like, because first of all, if you wasn't even a superstar, you wouldn't be in the NBA. That's number one. I'm trying to pull that. And you're supposed to be on my level. You're my peer. We're supposed to be the super team really competing for the championship. And I know that they support Kyrie because Kyrie the homie, but not as a teammate. You know what I'm saying? So there's a difference there. And with bringing in Ben Simmons, what happens is Kyrie naturally can play the two man the way he wants to be. Obviously, when KD gets back healthy, you got two dudes, 6'10 plus, that can guard anybody. KD's a sniper, and Ben Simmons generates the most three-point shots in the NBA. So I really like Ben Simmons' addition there. And you obviously upgrade defensively, phenomenally. And then for the Philadelphia 76ers, man, Joel Embiid is playing at a level right now, you know, that you got, that we got to start looking at him, Joker, and really starting to put him in there as you know, some of the greatest bigs we've ever seen. Joker with the PER, Embiid with, you know, being the only superstar and therefore very formidable in the East right now. Joel Embiid is showing you why you need another guy. Because as great as he is in the playoffs, he cannot do it all by himself. Not when a team can strategize game plan just to kind of stop him. And obviously you can't stop him, but you can slow him down enough, especially if you have the firepower. But enter James Harden. James Harden gets back to his natural position. There's going to be four out, one in. But the difference is you can give the ball to Joel and get buckets. Because we see what happens with the history of players. Can they overcome? Of course. And we always have our fingers crossed that this year will be a better year, a better way to finish the year than the previous year. But sometimes you just have to believe in who they are. And I say that to say because James Harden's playoff career hasn't been the greatest. And I think that you pair him with Joel Embiid, that will allow him to be a little bit more comfortable and also for the team not to go through a James Harden lull. And it can be carried by him. So I think James Harden gets back to distributing for everybody, but really being aggressive offensively. And that's the main thing. And they're complementary. James Harden is one of the best lob throwers in the NBA. You know, I don't think Joel Embiid gets enough lobs. Joel doesn't always get the easiest of buckets. Even playing with Ben, the difference is because Ben doesn't have a jump shot, so he cannot extend the defense. James does. So I think that creates a lot more lob opportunities. In my opinion, you do whatever you got to do to make it happen. Even if it's one for one, you have a couple untouchables. Obviously, Joel Embiid. But the main untouchable outside of Joel, in my opinion, is Matisse Thybulle. You need that guy. Guys like that are the reason why teams win championships. All right? But look, that's my time here. You know what I'm saying? So your boy FIFA 24/7 checking in, checking out. You know what I'm saying? Right before the buzzer, man, coming in clutch. We out. Peace.